How would you feel about a war tax?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Tonight, President Obama will tell the nation his plans for Afghanistan in a primetime address from West Point. The buzz is that he will send about 30,000 more troops to Afghanistan, but there are unanswered questions about how the U.S. would pay for that. Marketplace's Amy Scott has our story.
The White House says sending 30,000 additional troops to Afghanistan would cost about $30 billion more a year. To pay for it, some Democrats in Congress have proposed a war surtax. Most people would pay an extra 1% of their annual tax bill. The wealthy would pay more. Dan Plesch directs the Center for International Studies and Diplomacy in London. He says a tax would raise awareness of the cost of war.
I think you might have a bit more of a real sense of what's going on if more people at the top of the society were involved, and perhaps a higher tax is one way of approaching that.
But with the economy still weak and midterm elections next year, a surtax might be a tough sell. Lawmakers may have to find the money by cutting other spending or by borrowing it. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And speaking of borrowing, there's word from Dubai that the big investment conglomerate there plans to restructure its debt. That's a relief to investors who worry that a big Dubai default might trigger another economic train wreck. Analyst Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company says she's still nervous.
This really is phase two of the global economic debt crisis here. The Middle East debts are so large it could easily dwarf what Lehman Brothers was. And the Eurobanks still aren't out of the woods yet. They haven't disclosed all the bad loans they've got.
As I said, those stock traders are breathing more easily. And the S&P 500 is up 0.9%. The NASDAQ is ahead more than 1%, and the Dow is up 92 points at 10,437. The other piece of bright news this morning, the National Association of Realtors says pending home sales rose unexpectedly in October to their highest level since March of 2006. European stocks are up about 2%, and Asian markets also jumped 1 to 2% today. The Obama administration is trying to find a new home for detainees at Guantanamo Bay, and one possibility is a prison in rural Illinois. Some politicians are wary of that, to say the least, but as Marketplace's Joel Rose reports, others see it as a source of new jobs.
Federal officials have their eye on the Thompson Correctional Center in northwest Illinois. The state prison is mostly unused, and Thompson Village President Jerry Hebler supports the idea of bringing in detainees from Guantanamo.
Sure, it'll help the economy and the unemployment. Our unemployment up here is about 10.5. They figured it'd cut it in half.
The Obama administration says a maximum security federal prison could mean $1 billion in regional economic impact and 3,000 new jobs. But University of Chicago economist Alan Sanderson is skeptical about the number of full-time jobs.
I suspect the real number is probably closer to 500. I think if you take the estimate and divide it by five, you're probably much closer to reality in these things.
Republican lawmakers say they're concerned about the safety of local residents. They're pushing for more study, while Democrats in the state legislature want to move quickly to sell the prison to the federal government. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, which has begun a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys, ConstantContact.com. And by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at SaveAndInvest.org.
As we talk about the hot Christmas gifts here in the States, Mattel is suffering a big failure in China. Marketplace's Scott Tong tells us Shanghai Barbie has been a bust.
The Barbie flagship store sits on Shanghai's main shopping street, the equivalent of Fifth Avenue. But this holiday season, the sales staff outnumber the customers, and there's a lot on sale. This sales lady hawks Barbie brand eyeshadow. Was $17, now $12. T-shirts are more than half off. It's a big come down from the store's ambitious opening in March. Back then, brand designer Richard Dixon promoted the Barbie brand wedding dress for real-life brides, $10,000.
So you, getting married and, oh my God, a Vera wedding dress, how fantastic. If you buy the Barbie Vera Wang wedding dress, you get a collector doll that wears the exact same dress, and we will sculpt that doll in your likeness.
Now, Chinese shoppers seem to have left Barbie at the altar. Parent company Mattel has replaced the store's general manager and revised its sales targets. Shanghai consultant and seasoned shopper Michelle Wei provides a clue to what went wrong.
We never played with Barbie dolls growing up. I don't have this sense of, wow, Barbie's so beautiful. If I shop for a friend's daughter or my niece, I may buy a doll for them. But me, I'm not so interested.
Plus, hot pink isn't too popular here. Nor is the midriff revealing Barbie brand clothing. Sean Ryan at China Market Research thinks Mattel just doesn't get young Chinese women.
They're a lot more immature. They like cute, not pure, sexy, halter top, see-through. That's not very popular in this market. The young girlish type of models do a lot better.
Point is, just because something sells in Malibu doesn't mean it'll sell in China. Youth market researcher Mary Bergstrom.
For brands to be successful in China, you need to do a little bit of ego checking at the door. So whatever your brand has accomplished outside of China isn't necessarily what you bring into China.
Bergstrom thinks this struggling store is fixable, so long as Barbie the brand puts on her glasses, does her China homework, and updates her look once again. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, if it's your business, can your fish do what they want? Cindy Vong opened a spa last year in Arizona where you pay $30 to put your feet in a tank and let fish nibble on you to remove your dead skin. It's a well-known therapy in Asia. But the Arizona Board of Cosmetology said, no, fish aren't sterile. You can't do fish therapy. Now a conservative watchdog group has sued the agency, saying it overstepped its bounds and cost Ms. Vong her substantial financial investment. Professional feet nibblers are not cheap. This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.